Have a seat, please, and take your Bibles and turn with me to Mark chapter 10. And let's look together, beginning at verse 13. Mark chapter 10, verse 13, they brought young children to him, that is to Jesus, that he would touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. Someone wrote, 'Twas a sheep, not a lamb, that strayed away in the parable Jesus told. A grown-up sheep that had gone astray from the 99 in the fold. Out on the hillside, out in the cold, 'twas a sheep the good shepherd sought. And back to the flock, safe in the fold, 'twas a sheep the good shepherd brought. And why for the sheep should we earnestly long and as earnestly hope and pray? Because there is danger, if they go wrong, they'll lead the lambs astray. For the lambs will follow the sheep, you know, wherever the sheep may stray. When the sheep go wrong, it'll not be long till the lambs are wrong as they. And so with the sheep we earnestly plead for the sake of the lambs today. If the sheep are lost, what terrible cost some of the lambs will have to pay. Spurgeon used to say that a man's life, a woman's life, is more forcible than their speech. And when men take stock of them, they reckon their deeds as dollars and their words as pennies. If our life and doctrine disagree, the mass of onlookers accept our practice and reject our preaching. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, But if any provide not for his own, he's denied the faith and is worse than an infidel, an unbeliever. Our primary responsibility as parents, as grandparents, as those who are adult examples, is to provide a safe pattern for children so that they can know what it's like to follow God, know what it's like to be a Christian. And Jesus talks in this passage here about several ways, demonstrates several ways that we can thwart the attacks of the enemy against children. And let's look at them together. Parents, first of all, should bring children to Jesus. That's what these parents did. That's what these people who cared about children did. The Bible says in the verses we read that they brought young children to Jesus that he should touch them. Children are free of most of the pride and prejudices that tend to keep adults from receiving the Lord. And they're a pattern in their humble dependence on others, their receptivity, their acceptance of themselves and their position of life. Of course, Jesus was speaking of an unspoiled child. A child enjoys much but can explain very little. Children live by faith, and by faith they accept their lot, trusting others to care for them and see them through. What's a child do when he's hurt or has a problem? Goes to his parents, right? And we too should go to our Heavenly Father when we're hurt, when we have a problem. It was children who cried in the temple, Hosanna to the Son of God. They didn't care what other people thought around them. Most adults would look around to see if anybody else was enthusiastically praising Jesus, and then they would join in, maybe. But children, you bring children to Jesus, you watch them relate to him, and you can learn many times what pleases him. We need to become, Jesus said, like children, and be enthusiastic in our love and praise to him. Told you before about Celeste Sembly, a columnist for the Atlantic Constitution. She took her three children to dinner, or a diner, I should say, for breakfast one morning. And they were sitting at different ends of the counter because there wasn't room for them all to sit together. And as they sat down and the meals were brought, nobody was praying, and the eight-year-old yelled across the counter to her mother, and she said, Don't people pray and thank the Lord for their food in this place? Everybody got really quiet. And then the lady behind the diner said, Why, sure we do. Let's pray. Why don't you lead us in prayer and thank the Lord for our food? So she said, God is great. God is good. So we thank you, Lord, for this food. In Jesus' name, amen. But she was proud of the Lord, wasn't she? And she wasn't worried about what people thought. And we should learn from children. Parents should bring children to Jesus. That's a good thing. And we should plan to face some opposition. That's the next thing. Notice it says his disciples rebuked those that brought them. Sometimes we do the wrong things, even though we're followers of Jesus. Mark Twain quipped, "Few things are harder to put up with than the annoyance of a good example." You'll get that in a minute. Sometimes Christians in leadership positions even look down at children's ministries. When that happens, they resemble Jesus' enemies more than his followers. Matthew 21, verse 15, when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that Jesus did and the children crying in the temple and saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were sore displeased. Some churches cater to just the old people who contribute the money and ignore the younger generation. We don't want that. Amen, old people? We want to follow the Lord. And the Lord here receives children and considers them very, very important. And we need to plan to experience some opposition in bringing children to Jesus. And we need to participate in Jesus' emotions. Notice what it says there in our text. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased. One commentator says the phrase "much displeased" is tame. Our Lord actually became indignant as he openly rebuked his disciples for standing in the way. Robertson, in his word picture, says that Jesus was moved with indignation. The word is an ingressive aorist. He became indignant. It's a strong word of deep emotion and of pain in his heart. So Jesus became emotional. He just explained to them how he looked at children. Flip back to Mark 9, if you would, in your Bibles. Mark chapter 9. Look back at verse number 36 in Mark 9. He took a child and set him in the midst of them, and when he had taken him in his arms, he said to them, "Whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth not me, but him that sent me." Pretty clear statement, I think, and they should have learned from his previous words of instruction to them, but they didn't. Then he announced that the children are better in the kingdom as examples than the adults. We tell children to behave like adults, but Jesus tells us we should behave like children. We should learn to be childlike, not childish, but childlike. We need to protect them from evil. They've inherited, after all, an evil nature from us, their parents. Amen. And we need to protect them from exposure to additional evil, prevent them from becoming educated in the evil that's around us. Romans 16, 19. Flip over there in your Bibles, would you? Romans chapter 16, last part of the book of Romans, verse number 19. Paul, writing to the Roman Christians, he says, in Romans 16, 19, "Your obedience has come abroad unto all men." Everybody's heard about how you love the Lord. You show it by the way you obey. "I'm glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning the evil." We don't need to experience evil, nor do our children need to be exposed to evil to be fully grown, mature adults. Evil should be something we protect them from. Evil is something that doesn't do anything but harm, and we don't need exposure to evil. Jesus told his disciples, "Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves." And we should keep that innocence as much as we possibly can, and in our children especially. Philippians 2:15 says that we should be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. 1 Corinthians 14:20 says, "Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men." And then fourth, we should pave the way for children to meet Jesus. He said, suffer the little children to come unto me. Permit the little children to come unto me. And forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of God. These young people, they're the ones that show the dominance of God in their hearts, the love of God in their hearts. They're part of my kingdom. Children must be given opportunities to meet the Savior. That's what Bible time is all about. That's what Sunday school is all about. That's what Awana is all about. That's why we have all these children's ministries. That's why we invest thousands and thousands of dollars every year in children's ministries. And that's money well spent. And we're going to keep doing it. Amen? Our behavior ought to be an encouragement for children, for them to get to know Jesus. If you show love and devotion to the Lord, it'll be contagious. They'll want the same relationship for themselves. One of my favorite stories is that of Josiah Wedgwood. I've told it to you before, but it bears repeating. He was an English maker of famous Wedgwood pottery. And he was showing a nobleman through his factory one day, and one of Wedgwood's employees, who was just a young boy, was accompanying them. The nobleman was profane and vulgar, cursing and swearing. At first, the boy was shocked by his irreverence, and then he became fascinated at the man's coarse jokes and his off-color humor, and he began to listen and follow more closely. Wedgwood was deeply distressed. At the conclusion of the tour, he showed the nobleman a vase of unique design and picked it up and held it for the man. The man was charmed by its exquisite shape and rare beauty. And as he reached for it, Mr. Wedgwood purposely dropped it and let it fall to the floor. The nobleman let out an angry expletive and said, "Why did you do that? I wanted to buy it. You've ruined that vase with your carelessness." And Wedgwood answered, here's his words, "Sir, there are other ruined things more precious than a vase which can never be restored. You can never give back to that young man who just left us the reverence for sacred things which his parents have tried to teach him for years. You've undone their labor in less than half an hour with your vulgarity and your improper speech." I think it's a good lesson, don't you? A brief, simple, but expressive eulogy was pronounced by Martin Luther when a pastor at Zwickau in 1522 named Nicholas Hausmann had passed away. Here's what he said. "We preach, he lived," said the great reformer. He lived. We should be able to say, "Follow me as I follow Christ." Paul said, "Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you." We should be doers of the word, not hearers only. Amen? Someone said, "I wouldn't give much for your religion unless it can be seen." Lamps don't talk, they just shine. I like that. We need to shine for Jesus. Amen? Pave the way for children to know Jesus. Be an endearing example. Endear them to Christ. Make them curious. Show them how much you love Jesus and how much His love is flowing through you. Show them how to live. Pave the way for them to know Jesus. And then he said, "Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." So we should practice childlike faith. Practice childlike faith. You can't enter the kingdom of God unless you put your trust in Jesus like a little child trusts his or her parents. We should trust Jesus with that wholehearted confidence that he alone can get us to heaven. It's not just belief in God, it's belief in God's mediator, and there's only one. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? You can't get to God except through His mediation. You can't come to God except through His perfect once and for all sacrifice. But all that come unto the Father by Him shall be saved. Thank God for that. Amen? You come by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. But we can be saved and we'll put childlike faith in Jesus Christ. We enter God's kingdom by faith, like little children. Helpless, unable to save ourselves, totally dependent on the mercy and grace of God. And we enjoy God's kingdom by faith, believing that the Father loves us and that He'll care for our daily needs. He'll supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory, Philippians 4:19 tells us. Turn your Bibles to 2 Chronicles, would you? Flip back to the Old Testament. You'll see the three couplets of Kings and Chronicles and Samuel there. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 14. And look with me at the story of King Asa. Good King Asa was surrounded by a superior army of Ethiopians who had better military hardware, who had more numerous troops, and he got into a position with faith in God where that's all he could rely upon. And so we need to use this as an example today of practicing childlike faith, and I think it's a good way to illustrate that. 2 Chronicles 14, verse 8 says, "And Asa had an army of men that bare targets and spears out of Judah, 300,000. And out of Benjamin that bare spears and drew bows, 280,000. All these were mighty men of valor, and there came out against them Zerah the Ethiopian with an host of 1,000,000 and 300 chariots, and came unto Mareshah. Then Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zehaphtoth at Mareshah. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God," I like this, "and said, Lord, it's nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee. And in thy name we go against this multitude, O Lord. Thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee." So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. You know, God is drawn to those who have childlike faith. There's something about that trust that draws the Lord. And there's something that draws out a parent's heart when their children look with loving confidence and trust toward them. So we should practice childlike faith. And then notice the next phrase. "He took them up into his arms, and he put his hands upon them, and he blessed them." Prepare for the Savior's blessing. You've done all these things, and you've introduced children to the Lord, and they come into contact by faith with Jesus. We can expect that he'll bless them. Meeting the Savior in childhood is a lifelong blessing, is it not? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, Paul tells Timothy that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. So we need to introduce children to Jesus at a young age. Train them in the Scriptures. Teach them diligently to them. Practice the Scriptures and demonstrate the grace of God and the love of Christ in our own lives. Paul said in Philippians 1 and verse 9, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God." So provide children with opportunity. Don't get in their way. Present the loving Savior clearly. Allow them to come, but never coerce them. Be careful with little ones. Be very sensitive to their will and their understanding. Don't push them. Don't get them to please you. Get them to know the Lord and really connect with Him. Amen? And teach them His commands. Show them how He lives. And take them as a pattern for yourself in their childlikeness and trust. Robert Fulgham wrote in the Kansas City Times, and I quote, "Most of what I really need to know about how to live and what to do and how to be, I learned in kindergarten. Wisdom was not at the top of the graduate school mountain, but there in the sandbox at the nursery school. These are the things I learned. Share everything. Play fair. Don't hit people. Put things back where you found them. Clean up your own mess. Don't take things that aren't yours. And say you're sorry when you hurt somebody. Amen? Some people don't think they need to do that. That won't diminish you in the eyes of your children. That'll elevate you. You mess up, own it. Don't be hypocritical. And when you go out into the world, this is a good one. When you go out into the world, watch for traffic. Hold hands. Stick together. Isn't that good? I read a story of a young lady, 24 years old, who's facing some awful opposition. She's got her bachelor's degree. She's going on to get her master's at Augusta State University. And there in that context, she's finding some intense opposition to her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want us to pray for her. That's why I bring her up. You know, kids are going out into a wicked world today. Did you know that? It's not gotten any better in the last 40 years. It's gotten a lot worse. And we need to make a difference, but we need to face reality. But she went out to this school, and she was found out by her professors that she had some opposition in her religious views to homosexual conduct, and the school imposed upon her, when they found out what she believed biblically, a remediation plan. Unless she completes this remediation plan to their satisfaction, then she can be thrown out of the school's counseling program. David French, senior counsel for the Alliance Defense Fund, which is a Christian group of attorneys, explained that there are some absurd elements to the plan, such as, and he said, admonishing her to go to a gay pride parade and write about her feelings afterwards. In other words, deliberately exposing her to behavior she finds immoral in the hope that she'll accept it. He said, Jennifer's not interested in being indoctrinated. She wants to be educated. She wants to learn about the counseling profession. She wants to be a good counselor. But being a good counselor doesn't require that one surrender their most fundamental religious beliefs. Jennifer Keaton was obviously raised in a family that brought her to Jesus. And she's blessed of the Lord. Write down the name Jennifer Keaton. Pray for her, would you? She's facing a lot of trial, a lot of difficulty. She's not alone. There are a lot of young people in schools, in high schools, in junior highs today, in our public schools, who are facing similar opposition because they believe the principles that the Lord Jesus taught in the Word of God. Amen? There are a lot of teachers in the same situation. A lot of godly teachers like some of our own, like Amy, that just led us in music, facing difficult opposition because they stand up for what's right. But strength to stand is no accident, is it? It comes from the Lord. Parents must teach their children the truth. Parents must lovingly discipline their children because they're immature and they need guidance. And parents shouldn't exasperate their children with uncontrolled anger or with inconsistency. Be consistent in your expectations of them, and don't fly off the handle. If you demonstrate anger, it better be under control. Don't ever discipline in anger. And parents who are godly, teach their children to obey. Amen? Amen? Teach them to obey. That's the first thing that they need to learn. It'll not be in vain. It'll be well worth the effort. But we're in a difficult time in America. And we need the move of God in our country, don't we? I've been talking about that. We need the movement of God in our neighborhood Bible time this week. We need the Lord all the time. We're desperate for His help. And we need to humble ourselves before Him and ask for His strength and His power. But over the last several years, there's been an unprecedented collapse in the morality of our nation. Tragically, today's devastating modern decline has deeply permeated churches and believers as well. And there are few, if any, actual glimmers of light. And when the foundations are destroyed, we're in trouble, aren't we? Brothers and sisters in Christ, in the light of today's devastating situation, how could we have any attitude but utter brokenness and desperate turning to God? Amen? Let's turn to the Lord daily. Let's seek His face. Let's live in such a way that we're an example of Christ to our families, in our neighborhoods, in our work. Nothing less than a historic great awakening, though, is needed. We need a great awakening. You know, great awakenings like were in America in past years totally changed the society. God's able, amen? He's able to heal our land. He's able to do great and mighty things. So we need to keep praying and keep trusting and believing the Lord. And this week is going to be an excellent opportunity for us to demonstrate Christ. The past 3 weeks of camp have been a great opportunity for our teens, for our kids. And they're fired up and excited and thankful for what the Lord's been doing in their lives. And they're ready for another week. Physically they're not, but mentally they're ready for another week of neighborhood Bible time. And it's going to be awesome. We've got two great young evangelists who are with us today. Their hearts are really on fire for the Lord. And they will be a great blessing. But we need to prepare for the Savior's blessing. He took them up in His arms. He put His hands on them. And He blessed them. Let's pray for the blessing of the Holy Spirit upon our obedient efforts this week. We're doing this for the Lord. Amen? And for young people. And Jesus is the answer for our children. He's the answer for our community. He's the answer for our nation. And through our missionaries around the world, He's the answer for our world, isn't He? Amen? So let's bow for a word of prayer together and seek the Lord for just a moment. Father, we come to You today thankful for this wonderful example of how to overcome the opposition of the enemy by the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray today as we face this wonderful week that You would strengthen our hearts and help us as we draw near to You. And Lord, if there's one here that needs to come in a way that they haven't come ever to trust Christ, I pray that this would be the day of their salvation. And if there's someone who's been far away from You, who knew You in their youth or knew You in recent days and has turned away, I pray that their heart would be made right by their coming today. And Lord, we just look to You. Our eyes are upon You by faith. And we rest in You and look to You to help us. Bless this week ahead with great blessing. And bless every heart now. And whatever decision needs to be made, we pray You'd help it to be made in that heart. In Jesus' name.